WFRC is really the oldest campus community radio station in Canada, and one of the longest running radio broadcasts in the world, actually, since 1922. So going on 102 years or there maybe already, they've not only survived through a number of countless technological revolutions and keeping everything relevant. I'm hoping that, in fact, let's go back to that event coming up tomorrow. One of the things going on with the funding drive, you can donate, of course, and we would appreciate that, but you can also attend some of these programs that are events that are happening over the course of this month. And there are a number of ways. One tomorrow is that wrestling event with the IWA and CFRC again at the Spire. I would suggest go to our website, www.cfrc.ca, click on the donate button at the top of the page. What that does is takes you to a page that has all of our information about the funding drive and tells you how you can donate either through Queens and there on that page and get a tax receipt or go through us and you can qualify for raffle prizes and also gifts. So please check it out, and we'll be doing this for another 30 days or so. So my heartfelt thanks to all of you who have already donated. So thanks so much. And I know a few of you that have already. So thank you. Every little bit helps. So we appreciate it. And now it is almost 2 minutes after 5 o'clock. So let's go ahead and move into the second round of that event. I will say, let's do it officially in case someone didn't tune in to the first hour. It is just turned 5:02. You are listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday evening from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online at www.cfrc.ca. And I'd like to mention again that the open mic was really wonderful event again that evening. Again, many new faces as well. And in the second round from that open mic event, actually to start it off, first you're going to hear a pre-recorded piece submitted and read by Ann Archer. And then the second round of the event, readers in it again, Jane McDonald, Abby Miole, Sarah Emtage, Keen Ryan, Quentin Kerr, Tara Kaner, Meg Freer, Beatrice Gale, Krista Ty Baker, Kin Man Young Tai, Beckett Pear, Anna Johnson, Eric Folsom, Harlequin Crow, and then me again to end it up. And just with the usual start of the hour announcement again, occasionally some poetry, spoken word, or music played on this show may contain strong language, but all is played in its entirety with content unedited to honor the creative integrity of both the author and the piece. As I always mention, I offer anyone who can't make the open mic in person a chance to send me something, and I will air it, and that's how we'll start this hour. As a lead into that, you're going to hear a piece performed by Ann Archer, and I believe in it. She even says she believes it's more a song than a poem, but she is reciting her piece. I believe she calls it Robbie's Rushes, but she mentions that as well. So here is Ann Archer.
Morning, Bruce. Morning, everyone. Here's my contribution to this month's, I guess next month's, And the Journey Continues. This is I'm not sure whether it's a poem or a song. It's called Robbie's Rushes, and let's call it a song. It's a song based on Robbie Burns' song, Green Grow the Rashes. The phrase in my song, The Wave in the Mind, is the title of Ursula K. Le Guin's book on poetics, a title that she borrows from one of Virginia Woolf's letters to Vita Sackville-West. Robbie's Rushes. Robbie's Rushes, green against blue. What is the name of that soft hue that the wind delights in painting? Wind in the rushes, creating, beyond shape or form, something new. Robbie's Rushes, bending the breeze. Artist and subject both, a tease to the eye and heart, and the mind, searching for what it wants to find in water, sand, and sky, to ease or to echo what wind whispers. Be like the grass that curves and sways. Be like the wave that crests, breaks, and crests again. The wave in the mind rests, then tumbles in time, eternally. But the wave in the mind is a dance out of time and tune, the distance between us, between thought and deed, between Robbie and his dearies, heedless for every hour that passes. Lasses among the rushes, green against blue. Robbie's Rushes, green against blue. Robbie's Rushes, green against blue. Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody. And I didn't quite catch that before I jumped to the next cue. Anyway, you just heard a piece read by Ann Archer that she sent to me as to be included as part of the event that aired today. And again, it was indeed called Robbie's Rushes. Now let's go ahead and move into the second round of readings at the Elm Cafe on November 5th. Up first in it, you're going to hear readings by Jane McDonald, Abby Miole, Sari Emtage, Keen Ryan, and Quentin Kerr. Here we go. Welcome back, everybody. We're going to move into round two. Up first, let's bring up Jane again.
Hey guys. Hi. Yay, it's the Elm. Woohoo. This one's called This Morning the Robin Did Not Trouble Me. It's blooming notes I was sure no one had heard before. Did not stir in me dread of its extinction too present to me lately. This morning, bare and lonely, falling past the house's cool and darkened fronts, the robin's song said strong, said, this life thrives. And I became a child, held in my bed, the earth not a garden or at all containable. It was the robin giving voice. It was myself, original, freshly awake.
So give Jane another hand. Let's bring up Abby.
Caretaker, I want to save you, protect you, house you, feed you, heal you, love you. Isn't that what love is? Giving, even when there is nothing left to give. I worry when I don't hear from you. I worry the way my mother does, and I get annoyed by, even though I know it's how she shows her love. But is that love? It reeks of fear. It's so clearly rooted in insecurity, obscuring the foundation of trust. How can I not worry about you? Worry that you'll be taken away from me again. How can I not assume the worst when the silence stretches thin? I know it's rooted in insecurity. But it's only because I love you that I fear losing you. At least, that's what I tell myself. But beneath that bottomless well of love, there is a girl afraid to be alone. Thank you.
Give Abby another hand. Let's bring up Sarah.
Yeah. We're thinking about Steve Hyten, and there's
Yeah, a number of years ago, there was a workshop, I think, at Writers Fest, and there were little pieces that I had left over from whatever I put in that did in that workshop. So yeah, I was kind of playing around with them, and I came up with this. We'll see if it's the final version or not. But it's called Shark Ladle. This ladle catches all the sharks in the dark before they darken our door. This broom sweeps the garbage from the ocean floor. This coral castle swallows swells above you and me as we sleep in the dark deep of the sea. Thank you.
Let's give Sarah another hand. Let's bring up Keen.
Hello. So, I'm not going to get super personal with this, but, like, I think, like a lot of people, I've lost some people to suicide, and I'm not going to get super modeling or super into that necessarily. However, I wanted to write something that was kind of interrogating it as a subject in sort of a Faustian sort of bargain sort of way, in order to kind of unpack it and sort of, I don't know, work through it, and yeah, I hope you like it. It's called Too Much to Lose. God, how you gloom. Twin cigarettes are burning me. I'm stinking up your waiting room. It's sludge from the sea. A wasted investment. How much did you spend then? The bridge's defacement cost me more in the end. Like that prick on the screen, don't believe in you, but fearing you, because like you, my friend, I got too much to lose. Fashionably early was always my strife. Can scatter confetti before others arrive. Unfurl celebratory, losing teams bunting. Up here they win every match that they threw. No need for the true, it'll cut chunks out of you. This gambling act will make you want to hit snooze. Collect all your winnings, don't spend it all on sinning. Cause like you, my friend, I got too much to lose. A colorblind test, many see a scattered mass. Some see your best, numbers through the cataracts. But many see too, odd as a dodo zoo. The kid that I knew hated him more than you. As if all I slated still feed the hatred. Most likely they decree I put that behind me. Yet still feel deflated, perspectives belated. Guilt is a man-made bonewicker cage. Dinner bell chiming for your final days. When all is eternal, all eeriness once internal. From start till the end, I'll splay it for you. Cause like you, my friend, I got too much to lose. A maroon powder die is cast in the sea. Mariner's eyes cast aside all that he sees. He's gandering endlessly, wandering wanderlessly. Gaze out upon the open sea. What secrets await me? What sequence escape me? What sequence to replay with, relay which sea to chase at ease? Lost dear Johnny and nearly my lady. These currents are currently churning up bad memories. How many paddies and those sold for slavery had graves in the watery deep bed as salty? But how many more see an opportunity? What mighty moors await me beyond the misty? Legacy round the bend, dying is not the end. This cruise is inviting, my terms I am writing, cause like you, my friend, I have too much to lose. There's bats in your attic, barmy sadness addict, hair standing static, belligerous fanatic. The sentence for ending your death row too early is apparently to hit the chair for eternity. What judge and jury would cast down such fury? Don't believe in punishing, but rather rehabilitating. A word of advice, untwine the tailpipe. You may think that you're unloved, but that is all tripe. Cherry does taste so, so lovely when ripe. The salted earth kills them, so cherish each specimen. Every life's a gift, no matter how many you wasted. And I don't mean dipping early, though I'd rather you'd face it. I mean those that chide, those that kill you with pride. Don't give those bastards the satisfaction. You make them moot with your every action. Don't you want to live to see them fall to their knees, or possibly new lovers, birds and the bees? Don't you want to make their evil job even worse? Don't you want to make sure that you don't step out first? I get the pressure, how it always tests you, and I can't imagine what you're going through. There are no wrong answers, only pathways to truth. Education's our evolution, and you learn through these trials. Make it your mission to pass on the smiles. Extend the end, don't you think I know too? Because like you, my friend, I have too much to lose.
And as we give Keen another hand, let's bring up Quentin.
Okay, I'm going to read first two parts of a ongoing and longer poem, but I'll just subject you to the first two. Paul, part one. Tease the ferment of this last dream. Remember we worked day and night, fed ourselves on cosmology, dog-eyed and panting. Build a tent, Jew, Gentile, Greek, and Roman, any time the bitterness threatened, any day it could arrive. No friends but allies, let me down this wall. On this basket, I can see again. Two. And so saying, he fled, fumbled through old capes, cast back fish scale faces for the hound, cast about in melon gray shipyards, sang dirges. Those were the years in which he sank, fist first and walling into new skin. Thank you.
And from the November 5th, and the journey continues, monthly open mic reading. You just heard readings by, you see where we're at here, readings by here we go. Jane McDonald, Abby Mioli, Sarah Emtage, Keen Ryan, and Quentin Kerr. Up next, you're going to hear readings by Tara Kaner, Meg Freer, Beatrice Gale, Krista Ty Baker, Kin Man Young Ty, and then Beckett Pear. Here we go.
As we give Quentin another hand, let's bring up Tara.
This begins with a short passage from The Fairy Queen, because there was something I read in that that gave rise to this poem. So this passage is from book three. Fairy Queen was published in 1590 by Edmund Spenser. The she in the passage is Britta Mart. She's the protagonist of book three. The whole poem, very long poem, is an allegory, and she represents chastity in the poem. And as she looked about, she did behold how over that same door was likewise writ, "Be bold, be bold, and everywhere, be bold." That much she mused, yet could not construe it by any riddling skill or common wit. At last she spied at that room's upper end another yon door, on which was writ, "Be not too bold." Be bold. Be bold, but not too bold, is all I remember of the Fairy Queen. Required reading for a Renaissance English course, I could not penetrate the ornate surface of the poem. It shut me out like a hedge of thorns. That line, though, returns to me again and again, that fine line we must inevitably navigate to survive life's journey. It came to me again this morning when I saw you, white-bellied, tawny brown squirrel lying dead on the road. I knew you, so alive you would fling yourself into the branches, leap atop the picket fence, snatch peanuts left under the tree for you, race headlong to glory. Was it the thrill, your dash across the street in front of that car, or a split-second miscalculation? I screwed up my courage, shoveled your bent, bloodied body into a burlap bag, buried you in the backyard, wished you a safe journey to wherever it is squirrel souls go. Bold, brave little squirrel, too bold.
To give Tara another hand, let's bring up Meg.
So I was going to read something else, but after Bruce read the poem he wrote at Joanne Gervais' art workshop, I decided to read instead this that I wrote mostly at that event also. And Anna was there. And so you might recognize some of the things here because it was... Anyway, Bruce led us on a little intuitive writing workshop of our own. Anna and I also. So this is called Early October's Treasures. All the apple tree leaves have blown away, and a single fruit drops from a dry branch to the ground. Wasps swarm. A chipmunk scurries past a stump. Turkey tail mushrooms fan out like a gathering of moths. Warm enough outside, with no sweater, the man leans on his cane to rest. A sudden tilt of his face upward, and he opens one arm wide as a locust tree drops all its golden leaves, an unexpected final benediction. He unpins from his shirt the tiny felted cardinal with purple eye and green swirls on its wings, lets it take flight into this landscape.
And as we bring up Beatrice, let's give Meg another hand.
Do you want to hear a joke?
Yes.
Do you want to hear a joke?
Yes.
Too bad, it's a poetry reading. This one's called So You Want to Do This Again. That was the joke, yeah, sorry. Life is cruel. There's the joke. My life. There's the joke. Okay, so you want to do this again. Is this what, that's what this one is called. So, you want to do this again. So you want to do this again. So you want to do this again. So you want to do this again. They're so angry, isn't it? It's like, they wanted to hear a joke.
As we give Beatrice another hand, let's bring up Krista.
All right. This is about a period of my life in my 20s, and it's called Shades of a Nightmare. A woman sits in the shadows with menacing fingers reaching for her to grab her, suck her back into the vast hole. She fights, struggles, she loses. The fingers win, the abuse begins, the abuser wins. The lady cripples and dies a little more inside, once again returning to the shadows, and awaits for the abuse again, too crippled in spirit and hope to find a way to fight.
So give Krista another hand. Let's bring up Kin Man.
It's October 8th. Coming off a deep read of Mungino, I hope I got his name right, Montale. His epigraph inserted here to help me gather a few words after a memorial around the urn with my brother ashes, Montale. These are the silences where we see, in each departing human shade, some disturb divinity. His framed picture has him look out at me in the library, a smile that I knew in his youth, lines now between the eye and ear. He would have likely sounded better, the Italian of Dante and Montale. Few words around his name, near a year since he departed. The silence becoming, in that absence, touching briefly a divinity. Much will remain unsaid. It is better that he too remains unanswerable. Within that search, myself, the people in the reed, where they live, mistakes, and in grief that there is no more, and in that our needs. The words gain burn as the candles and dissipate like the scented sticks. What can you do with departure, this final, but add clouds to memory? In and out of troubled skies and reinserting in your days a more relevant yesterday. We do not know, and sometimes we know that by being otherwise. Celebrated indeed are those cracks in the wall, giving us a view beyond. Thank you.
As we give Kin Man another hand, let's bring up Beckett.
Hi again. This one's called Georgian Bay Pines. Scrambling the banks of Georgian Bay, I pause and tilt my head, captivated by bowing trees stripped nearly naked in a fight to stay upright against the relentless breeze, rooted round rocks so long worn of holds they make a mock of life as it unfolds. Imagine this existence, one with no notion of how beautiful it is to experience your survival. Thank you.
And you just heard from the November 5th and the Journey Continues monthly open mic at the Yom Cafe. Readings by Tara Kaner, Meg Freer, Beatrice Gale, Krista Ty Baker, Kinman Young Ty, and then Beckett Pear. Tell you what, let's do this, and I'll be right back.
CFRC's funding drive is now underway and running through December 31st. Donate today and get amazing CFRC prizes. For every $5 you donate, you also earn a ticket for one of our weekly raffle draws featuring prizes from local businesses including Old Farm Fine Foods, The Screening Room, Smokes Poutinerie, Studio 330, Tango Nuevo, Terra Natural Foods, The Toucan, The Wit, and YGK Thrift. Enjoy the benefits of donating. Give today via CFRC.ca.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Have you been dumped? Left all alone? Just want to find your soulmate? Look no further, because your new best friend is waiting for you at the Kingston Humane Society. The Kingston Humane Society is a nonprofit animal organization founded in 1884 that is supported solely by the community, receiving no government funding to assist in their mission of caring for injured, abused, and homeless animals, with the goal of creating families and homes for the animals. They are the only open shelter in the region, accepting every animal brought to them with compassion, respect, and humane assistance. If you want to donate to help these animals find their best friends, or if you're interested in finding the new love of your life, please visit KingstonHumaneSociety.ca. Everyone just needs a little love.
Hey everyone, this is Joseph Guido. I am CFRC's Airwave YGK Musicians in Residence Project Intern. Do you love local music and supporting local arts? CFRC's annual funding drive is running until December 31st, and your gift is needed to help us provide local musicians with modern, top-of-the-line equipment, space, and technical support to better showcase their creativity on our airwaves all year round. Help us raise $25,000 this year. Make your gift today via CFRC.ca.
And you are and have been listening to Finding the Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Again, we are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. and it is just coming up to 5:30, and let's go ahead, and we're going to now move into the final readings in that second round of the November 5th, and the Journey Continues open mic reading. You're going to hear readings by Anna Johnson, Eric Folsom, Harlequin Crow, and then me. So here we go.
As we give Beckett another hand, let's bring up Anna.
Multiplicity of Memories, Part 2. I remember my throat closing, suffocated by a strangling phantom, not allowing my child's voice to be heard. I remember my throat contracting in my mother's womb, even before it inhaled its first oxygen molecule. I remember the periphery of an atom, its nucleus, the solar system surrounded by the 12 planets. I remember being in the center, surrounded by concentric circles. I remember floating on the uttermost outer circle, cradling my painful pelvic prolapse. I remember first hearing about a prolapse. What did that even mean? I remember driving across the bridge, then stopped at the red traffic lights. I floated into space as though we were all ants, moving about within an insignificant existence. I remember believing I became embodied when I became a little ant. Not disembodied from observing myself from the ceiling. I remember observation was an experience. An experience could only be embodied. It could not be disembodied. I remember sitting on an ant's nest, wearing a bathing suit. I was 5. I remember the weights workout routine that awaited me. I remember sitting on my wide cushioned dining chair, writing I remember phrases, aware of my buttocks. I didn't feel anything different from last time. I remembered the notebook, sturdy, on my moving hands, under my moving hands, across the page, on the dining table. I remember the first time I wrote I remember phrases in my bedroom on one of the wicker chairs facing the auspicious direction of the month. I remember my notepad on the greenish-yellow cushion resting on my knee. I remember the cold wind blowing. I could hear it talking to me, listening to the wind, the moon, the sun, and its enigmatic shadows. Telling me what? I remember seeing an image, reddish, expectantly rosy, pale at sunrise. An image reflected on the opposite wall, 30 feet away in my backyard. It was of the shape of an uterus. I remember thinking the shadowy shape was in the southeast of my property, related to my pelvis in feng shui. I remember trying to decipher the incomprehensible sun's message at dawn. I remember writing a letter to the I Ching, placing it in an envelope, lodging it behind the tempestuous ocean painting that hung on the southeast wall of my living room, imploring it to help my uterus and bladder prolapse. I remember thinking, was the image now quivering in my brain the I Ching's enigmatic answer to my letter? I remember thinking the universe started talking to me. The medication started working. Grateful to my conversations with the moon, the planets, the stars, the sun. I remember loving to write, eager to put thoughts to paper, to eternity.
So give Anna another hand. Let's bring up Eric.
Thanks. Okay. An older poem this time. Natural history. Create with form, not line, said the art teacher. Build with masses of light and dark. Gradually, plants evolve from gymnosperm to seed, and the age of flowers dawned upon the earth. I forget the dead sometimes. Leave them out of poems, and they come back in dreams to remind me. My grandmother spoke to me when I was 9. You won't forget your mother, will you? The seeds of the new plants made concentrated food, allowing birds and mammals to evolve and flourish. I'm running out of energy. Lesson plan falling apart. What do we mean, I say, twice, by economy? Any world is dangerous and filled with metaphor. The burning lasers of our eyes, fatal wounds of birth.
And as we give Eric another hand, let's bring up Harlequin.
So this is another performance poem, but I haven't had a chance to memorize it, so we're reading it tonight. Sweet Mary Jane. She is sacred. A sacrament imbibed to the awakening of deeper, sometimes truer connections to yourself, freeing physical imagination to manifest sensations not normally achieved alone. The caress of kisses across chest, neck, lips, or pressed with greater pressure if preferred. The feeling of another's hands moving perfectly, passionately in answer to every craving for touch. The utter intoxication of making love. And not just the crude mechanics indulged by yourself, but to feel being truly held and holding an affectionate exchange. The real thing, or damn near close enough, forging that understanding only found in intimacy, so sorely lacking for the self. Each moment of connection also unveiling perception to gently overcome and set aside barriers which, so far, have repelled every attempt at clawing down, as honesty at last arises from the thoughts and sore spots buried in emotional scars, to unleash the truest intimacy with the self. Insight, another word for pain, processed in grace. With all that she awakens, what could she be but sacred? What could she be but divine? A truth that's clearly plain for sweet, sweet Mary Jane.
And as we give Harlequin another hand, give yourselves and everybody else another hand for the wonderful reading. I'm going to read a poem to close out there. I didn't skip anybody, did I? I think I captured everybody. And as I always do, I just want to thank all of you for coming tonight. You are what makes this the incredible reading series that it has been for the last 15 or so years. So. This is called 70 Years On. Flashback images, instants of 70 years ago. I might have been 3 or 4. We, after driving from our farm, were visiting my grandparents, my father's side, after they'd retired from their farm just a few years before. I was sitting on my grandfather's lap at a dining room table. He slid a big bowl over to me, and I pulled out a wrapped piece of candy. My first ever hard candy. Butter rum. My grandmother later showed me her basement, her pantry with all the canned and pickled vegetables and fruit she'd harvested from the back garden there. And sitting later outside by myself, playing with a small old truck on the lawn all afternoon, I watched the street in front of their house. And seeing what I would have seen back in that time when cars were big and plain. And in a whole afternoon, you might see only 3 or 4 go by. And I hear now nearly an old man sitting in a chair on a lawn, still drawn again this late summer afternoon to those slower and softer times. Thank you. Thank you again, everybody. And just wanted to remind you, because I don't know, some people might have come in after I'd mentioned at the start, because of other events going on next in December on the first Tuesday of the month, we're moving ourselves to the following night, so it'll be Wednesday in December. And then a heads up, too, beyond that, normally, because the Elm closes for 2 weeks, January. And so we've been skipping January just because they do a lot of renovations and things in here, and the place is actually closed to the public for 3.5 weeks this coming January. So the next one will be in February after December 4th, I believe it is. Anyway, thank all of you for coming now.
Thank you.
And you just heard the final readings in the final round, of the November 5th and the Journey Continues monthly open mic at the Elm Cafe. Readings by Anna Johnson, Eric Folsom, Harlequin Crow, and me. And I do have a few minutes today to share some upcoming events, they're starting to thin out a little bit, but there are a few book launches. But there are also some calls for submissions I want to mention. Before I get in, then after that, I'm also going to play one song to take us out at the end. So just to let you know, that's coming up as well. So I'm allowing a few minutes for that as well. It is now 44 minutes after 5 o'clock. So the other thing I'd like to do, well, first thing... You did hear some plugs again. We are in the middle of our this year's 2024 funding, CFRC's annual funding drive. We're trying to raise $25,000 and to replace and repair and make the station better in a number of ways. And if I don't know, maybe you're wondering if CFRC is a worthy cause to contribute to, and But I don't know if you know, but we are a hub for local nonprofits and other charities to get their message across too. We work with local groups to provide coverage and raise awareness about issues, initiatives, events and campaigns in the community as a whole. So if you could, again, every little bit helps. Again, my heartfelt thanks to all of you who have already donated, but you can support other community groups and causes through CFRC by donating to us as well. So, because we in turn help them. Again, just go to www.cfrc.ca. You'll notice at the top of that screen of the buttons there, one of them says donate. And if you go there, it will tell you everything you need to know about the funding drive. And I will be doing one more plug because there is an event. Again, I mentioned there are the events usually tied to the funding drive every year as well, in addition to a number of other things, including raffles and gift giving and that. The one is coming up tomorrow, so I'm going to, rather than talk about it, I'm just going to, just ahead of the song, I'm going to air the recorded, because they can do it a lot better than I can stumbling around here. So you're going to hear a very good presentation of what's coming up. It's a wrestling show tomorrow at the Spire. So that's one way you can have fun and donate at the same time as well. And again, you can donate either if you'd two ways, either through Queens on that page, and you get a tax receipt, or if you donate to us, you qualify for gifts. There are different levels and also the raffles, so prizes. So please check it out and give it some thought. And it is now 47 minutes after 5 o'clock. What I'm going to do, maybe I've got a couple of, I'm just going to throw these out here. There are a couple of calls coming up. They expire very quickly. In fact, four of them expire three of them expire quickly. And I think I'm going to do four calls here. The Alan Urith Purdy Poetry Prize is coming up. A deadline is actually tomorrow, November 30th. Go to their Facebook page, actually, is a good place to start. It's the Al and Urith, Eurithe, Purdy Poetry Prize. I believe there is a web page specifically for that, and it talks about everything you need. If you need to contact someone, prize coordinator at shaw.ca, but that's all mentioned in there as well. Please check it out. And this is a prize that will honor the most outstanding new poetry book published in Canada in 2024 by an established poet with five or more traditionally published poetry books. And that is the 25th anniversary of Al Purdy's passing. So please read more about it there. There is also the monthly award that I mention every month, the ARC Poetry, that's ARC Poetry Award, Award of Awesomeness. That is always the last day of the month. It is themed. They have a theme each month. So if you go to their website and you will find their prompt. It's ARC, ARC, arcpoetry.ca/contest-ARC, Award of Awesomeness. Again, that deadline is tomorrow. And then coming up Monday, December 2nd, it's a publication called Fractured Lit. Reading from a quote here, has been a place that celebrates the use of writing craft to tell small stories with big impacts. And then it also says they're looking for stories of 400 words or less that tell a complete story and written with a depth, and this is their quote again, that depth that demands more than one reading. Winner will receive $2,500 in publication. Second and third place, also publication, awarded $600 and $400. And then I also have this The previously published poem is by Poetry Submissions. Deadline for this is, you get a little more time with this one, Sunday, December the 8th. And it says submissions may have already been published in a literary magazine or an anthology. Winner will be awarded $3,000 publication and an interview by Palette Poetry and a limited edition broadside of the poem. There's a second and third prize as well of $300 and $200. And go to their website, palettepoetry.com, so palettepoetry.com, and then /previously published poem prize. I will also mention there are a couple events coming up. One is coming up this Sunday. It's going to be a book launch. There's also a writing workshop. This is going to be held at 99 York Street. Alice Burdick will lead a workshop and that's called Taking the Reins by the Horse. That begins at 1 p.m. Again, 99 York Street. And after a short break, Alice will be launching her new book, Ox Lost, Snow Deep. And joining her in that reading will be local poets Chantal Lavoie and Eric Folsom, who you heard in the readings today. And Chantal is there quite often as well. There's a Facebook page for it, so just go to Alice Burdick Launch and Workshop with Chantal Lavoie and Eric Folsom, and you should be able to get information. If you want to register for the workshop, I think it's somewhat limited, so if you want to secure a seat, definitely follow the information there. There is also then next Tuesday, let me see how I'm doing for time here because I want to get everything in here. Next Tuesday, yeah. I'm doing the math in my head. Apparently, I couldn't talk and do that at the same time. There are two events going on. Kingston Writers Fest, Jane Urquhart, and this is their last postseason event of the year, going to be happening at the Screening Room, and she'll be there with her new book, In Winter, I Get Up at Night. Go to kingstonwritersfest.ca. And Divided Societies Giving Tuesday with Jane Urquhart, and it's Q-U-H-A-R-T. There's also one happening at Novel Idea that night, and it will be local author Julie Salverson will be launching A Necessary Distance, Confessions of a Scriptwriter's Daughter. That's happening at 7 p.m. at Novel Idea. If I didn't tell you, the Kingston Writers Fest one is happening at the Screening Room. So here we are. Yeah, we're getting close here. I think I'm not going to go any farther than that. Those are the closest ones. In fact, those are some of the last. Oh, yeah, well, I should mention the open mic. The open mic's happening the following night. You heard me describe that that was recorded already, and I mentioned that night. But I would like to, at this point, I think, thank all of you for having tuned in to the second hour, and maybe cut the first hour or two of the show this afternoon. My heartfelt thanks as well to all the poets who come out to share their work every month in that open mic. And we always have several people who come just to sit and listen as well. So my thanks to all of you. Also, thanks to the Elm Cafe, who has been a home for us the last several years. And thanks. They've always been there for us. You are and have been listening to Finding a Voice on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock to stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. Both hours are uploaded to my blog space for the show at at Finding a Voice on CFRCFM.wordpress.com. We'll remain there for 3 years. Do stay tuned for 2 hours of East Coast music in a show called Saltwater Music, hosted by Rob Carnell. And have a great week, everybody. To take us there, first this message again, and then Bob Dylan with a song called Girl from the North Country. Here we go.
On Saturday, November 30th, the Independent Wrestling Academy, in cooperation with CFRC 101.9 FM, presents IWA Wrestling School of Rock. A portion of the proceeds from this family-friendly professional wrestling event will be donated directly to CFRC's annual funding drive. Tickets are available for $20 and can be bought through iwacanada.ca. The event is scheduled to take place at the Upper Hall of the Spire on 82 Sydenham Street. Doors at 5 p.m., opening bell will be at 5:30. Be sure to check out CFRC.ca and IWACanada.ca for additional event details. We hope to see you there, and we hope you're ready to rock the Spire.
If you're traveling in the North Country Fire, where the winds hit heavy on the borderline, remember me to one who lives there. For she once was a true love of mine. If you go when the snowflakes storm, when the rivers freeze and summer ends, please see she has a coat so warm to keep her from the howling wind. Please see if her hair hangs long, if it rolls and flows all down her breast. Please see for me if her hair's hanging long, for that's the way I remember her best. I'm wondering if she remembers me at all. Many times I've often prayed in the darkness of my night, in the brightness of my day. Where the winds hit heavy on the borderline, remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine.